right. It is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is Tuesday night, and you're listening to the Ooze Illuminous Edition with your hosts, Jason Sorrell and Rotten Biohazard. Rotten, how are you doing tonight, man?
Pretty good, man. Yourself?
So, like I said, flying by the seat of my pants, man. Just trying to slide in here and get some things taken care of. And as it seems like the more effort I put into trying to get organized and line things up in advance, the more difficult it becomes. So, just kind of crazy stuff going on. You're back.
You need to learn to relax more. Have a large drink and relax. Come on now.
Well, the theory is the more organized I can get things, the more time I'll have to relax. That's the theory.
Yes, and I think you've now proven your theory is flawed and full of holes.
Well, if I didn't get this thing, if I wasn't running around trying to get this thing taken care of, the show wouldn't have even been scheduled tonight. So,
touche.
I'm going to get ahead of this. I'm going to get ahead of this curve, and we'll be all right. As a matter of fact, tonight, the show topic, my intention for almost a week has been to talk about the Girl Scouts of the United States of America. That's their full title. And their recent troubles with admitting a boy who identifies as a girl. I don't even know that I want to call this kid a transgender kid. Because at 7 years old, identifying as a girl when you're a boy.
But, you know, man,
I
think that, I don't know whether or not you were the same kind of kid. Maybe you weren't. I don't know. But every boy had a Barbie. Every boy did have a few girly toys. Next was G.I. Joe's. Generally, the G.I. Joe was tying up the Barbie, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, all men at one point in life had some type of doll, Cabbage Patch, Barbie, or something along those lines.
Sure. Now, this kid, though, and I didn't want to really roll into this yet. And this kid, he takes it to an extreme. He, you know, and the parents allow it, and I dare say they might even encourage it. He dresses like a girl. He has nothing but girls' toys.
Is this kid? Is he? Well, let's be honest. Colored? Is that the kid you're talking about?
Is he what?
Is he colored? Is he black?
No, he's not. He's not a black kid. I would guess, based on the pictures and based on his name, I would guess that he is a Hispanic or Latino in origin. But I think that point is moot.
Yeah, we are speaking of the same kid, actually. Yeah, he dresses in princess stuff and everything else. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, and I kind of wanted to get to this because, you know, the Girl Scouts, it's funnier. It's a little bit more entertaining than the other show topic I have in mind, but I think we need to speak to the other show topic as well. So you got this kid who, of course, wants to dress up like a girl and join the Girl Scouts, and it's caused a big hoopla and a whole mess over the last few months. We got this 14-year-old girl who's on a crusade now. She's a Girl Scout herself, and she's banning the sale of Girl Scout cookies, encouraging people to ban the sale of Girl Scout cookies in protest of this kid being allowed in the Girl Scouts. And if we can get to that, we will. The bigger issue, this kind of caught my attention. I was aware of it in a cursory sort of way because I haven't been spending a lot of time watching the internet. I haven't been spending a lot of time involved and engaged in what's going on with the news cycle. I haven't really been paying attention. And today I had reason to jump on to Wikipedia, and Wikipedia had a nice black banner going across the top of their page. Matter of fact, let me see if it's still up or not.
Yeah,
Wikipedia
Click on the banner, it's a link to another page which actually goes in more in depth into it, actually. Yeah, I read it.
Well, they are getting ready to have a 24-hour blackout of the English Wikipedia website.
But 50% of the members wanted for it to be worldwide, but in good conscience, they could not allow that, though it was proposed.
So this is going down in 3 hours. English Wikipedia will be blacked out globally to protest SOPA and PIPA. And I know those sound like Mexican mariachi bands, SOPA and PIPA. But this is really more to do with online censorship and online piracy. SOPA is Stop Online Stop Online Piracy Act, so it's SOPA. SOPA, it means soup in Spanish, but that's what I see when I look at it. So SOPA is engaged in kind of, these two things kind of attack the same problem from two different directions. SOPA is dealing with domestic websites in a way, and people who download or upload pirated pirated media.
Actually, the second thing you said, that is more to do with PIPA, because that actually goes after the IP addresses of the users.
And
SOPA
PIPA
is more web-based, where PIPA is more more localized.
Right. Okay. Right. And PIPA seems to have more of a kind of international person. I'm getting all this information cursory. I'm trying to, I'm getting it from different sources and looking at different things. I have not read the actual SOPA and PIPA acts myself. I thought it was funny though that PIPA is an acronym for let me see what I have here.
IP address, yeah.
Right, but PROTECT is also an acronym. The full thing, so it's already two layers of bureaucracy. Just in the name of it, there's already two layers of bureaucracy. You got Prevent Real Online Threats to Economic Creativity and Intellectual Property Act. That is the full extension of the PIPA acronym. And it's kind of crazy. And the biggest complaint, the people that, on both sides of the argument, both sides of the argument are saying something needs to be done about copyright infringement and piracy and, and the media, because apparently somebody is losing money. Okay?
Oh, no shit.
But here's my thing is, we'll kind of get to this, that the people who are losing money, they've already made billions off the product anyways. The percentage that they're actually losing is a small part. And what they're saying is, they're being disingenuous by saying that there are workers in film and television. This is rogue sites jeopardize jobs for film and TV workers, according to the Motion Picture Association. And I'm wondering how that happens, because most of your film and TV workers, your crew and everything else, unless they're the actors or unless they're special effects people who are big name recognized people, unless they're big name directors, most of them are working for scale. They're working for an already predetermined salary. So, they make nothing off of the distribution and the sale of the movie. When the production crew gets in there, they make their film, they put it in, they punch a clock just like anybody else, and when the film is made, that's it. That's as far as they go. That's as much money as they're going to make from it. The actors, by and large, are not engaged in getting royalties as much as people would like to think. Usually they are paid up front. They get, a certain, because they know, that the bill might pay. So, for my time, I want, Harrison Ford, he wants $1 million or whatever his rate is. And that's what they pay. And then if he gets a little, a little percentage on the royalties or whatever, super. It's the right to make a royalty. That's part of their deal.
And then with the TV side of things, it's more being the actors you're in, the crew are being paid more by advertisements. The commercials in between the program you're watching goes to their wages and salaries for that show, for that block, as it were.
Right. And people are going to watch television regardless of whether or not the media is available for free someplace. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I shouldn't speak so soon, because the trend is shifting. People are going more and more to the Internet for their entertainment. They're bypassing the television or avoiding the television. I know that my household's that way, that we don't deal with TV. If we want to see a television show or something like that, we look to Netflix to download it. Or, we go on the Internet. We go looking for it. I don't get into the whole the downloading myself, because I just don't have that much I'm interested in. But it's this. The fuzzy thing about this, I mean, both, like I said, both sides of the argument, they want to have something done. They both see that it's a problem, one way or another. Whether, how real the problem is, how much is being exaggerated, that's part of the argument. But the issue that the people that are against these different proposed acts are having is that the acts themselves are far too broad and far too ambiguous and what it is they have, they're able to, you know, enforce against, what actions they're able to take. And, like, they're saying this SOPA thing, that it's so flawed that there's no fixing it. You just have to kill it. You have to vote against it. If you have any hope of, you know, protecting freedom of speech and avoiding just, you know, across-the-board censorship. I mean, you're talking about a bill here that encourages IP providers, you know, IP servers, to, on their own, block out websites at their own discretion.
Yeah.
Because they think that they're either, A, they're providing private or pirated content, or B, they're pointing to or linked to websites that might have pirated content.
But here, you know, here comes really the major issue, is that both bills are extremely convoluted. The man who proposed both bills is currently being paid by the entertainment industry to try to push this movement. And the representatives that are currently voting on it, only three of them really have any kind of a modern idea on the internet. One of them, for instance, is the, I would have to say, is the largest advocate against it. He is, if memory serves, a Republican in Colorado. He was big in the e-commerce market for a while, so he at least has the largest understanding of what this means, not only to him, but to us as citizens at large as well.
Right on. That's what's actually going on with these politicians. The ones that are for it, they all have a dog in the hunt. They all are in some way or another tied to the movie industry or the media industry. And it's these big companies, it's these international conglomerates that are trying to stop just the transfer of data. And it's the way the SOPA Act, the way the SOPA Act reads, from what I understand, I don't know what's going on there. From what I understand, there's no distinction as to what is or isn't considered copyrighted material. And any person that can stake a claim to the ownership of something can sit there and say that, hey, what this guy's got going on his website, his product, his production, his whatever he's got going on is close enough to what I'm doing and is negatively impacting my bottom line, so I want him shut down. And with no oversight whatsoever, with no hearing or whatever, your IP server can choose to shut you down. So, like,
yep.
In my case, I draw these demon girls. It's something I've been doing for a while. I am inspired by and a big fan of the artist Christopher Coop Cooper, who's known for his devil girls, okay? But there's a big distinction between my demon girls and his devil girls. It's clearly I'm not actually taking anything he's done and redoing it. There's a difference in design. There's a difference in, argue quality. I think, you know, he probably puts out a better quality product than I do. So there's no and I'm not the only artist to draw demon girls or devil girls. Chris Cooper's not the only artist. But with SOPA, in theory, if he felt like my artwork was threatening, or not even Chris Cooper, if his lawyers, if his backers and supporters, because he has people that, you know, they put money and invest money into what he does, if these people decided that artists like myself were enough of a threat to their bottom line, they could shut my website down based on original content that I provided, that I created, because it's close enough to what they got going on.
Beautiful thing, isn't it? And I say that, of course, sarcastically.
I've even heard some people talking about how the way this bill reads is that if you have your kids, if you videotape your kids and post it on YouTube and your kids are singing some song by Lady Gaga.
Yep.
In theory, you could be fined and jailed for the illegal use of copyrighted content. Your kids singing a Lady Gaga song and then you uploading it onto the internet.
You're right.
And of course, right, and we've got these, YouTube is, in my mind, the biggest one being threatened right now, is that because this, the whole thing with YouTube, it's all user-based. They try to control the content. But it's a community, it's even a community control. If you see something that looks copyrighted to you, or you see something that's inappropriate and doesn't meet whatever standards or guidelines put by YouTube, you report it. And then YouTube takes a look at it and goes, yep, then we're pulling that. Or if they get enough complaints about it, even if they don't look at it, they get enough complaints about it, okay, we're going to pull it because it looks funny to enough people. We're not even going to take a look. We don't have to. We hit our quota on the number of people complaining about it. So
yes.
They're a community-controlled and community-based website. That's how the whole business works. And they don't control really and directly the content that goes up on the website. The people that participate control that content. Well, if
Soka actually,
has
man,
this way,
here comes their big issue, though. Guess who now who has owned YouTube for the last 5-6 months?
I have no idea.
Google.
Google, okay, and Google's complaining about it.
Yeah. No, Google owns YouTube.
Right, but Google's one of the websites that's protesting SOPA as well.
Exactly, correct.
So these are the people that stand to be, take a big hit if this thing were to go into effect. And it could be just, anybody. Based on the way this thing's written, and that's the biggest issue, I think, is just the way it's written. It can target anyone. We'll literally have you'll have witch hunts basically. There's some knucklehead I was reading about today, who is he's in California. He's filed so many lawsuits in the state of California that the courts have ordered that he is no longer allowed to file a lawsuit in California. I forget what they called it. It was ridiculous, So they were talking like 40 lawsuits a day for just any ridiculous thing. I guess in Vegas he went to visit the pinball Hall of Fame or whatever, and when the machine he wanted to play wasn't working, and he asked one of the workers to fix it, and wanted to fix. In a certain timetable, the worker wasn't as responsive as he wanted this guy to be. Well, the guy tried to sue them for not having this machine operated, and then he raised a fuss in the actual pinball place and went to sue them for kicking him out basically, and said got physical and everything. This is the kind of knucklehead that'll take something like this SOPA Act and run with it. Okay. Any little thing, I mean, could you imagine people like, just to name names, just because she has a habit of doing this, Venus Satanis.
I was waiting for that one.
Hack.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Venus Satanis, she doesn't like when something she posts on the internet gets pulled and reused and mocked or whatever. And nobody likes that, so I understand that. So she uses the channels that are available to her to, put a stop to it, which typically just involves, the content gets removed. The end. You get a slap on the hand from YouTube or whatever. Hey, don't post that stuff because it's bad. All right? And that's it. Well, with the SOPA Act, what is somebody like Venus Santana going to be able to do? Somebody like, say, Zach Black, who gets a kick out of, reposting, videos of her waddling around the dance floor or whatever. What's going to come of that? Especially if Venus and we're talking about small potatoes here, to be perfectly frank, but what a feather in Venus Satanis' cap if she were to be able to just break Zach Black through the SOPA Act based on these downloads. You can't. You work for me now. You can't afford to run sin or whatever it is you're doing. You're done on the internet. I mean, that's the kind of shit we could be looking at.
But the way the law is worded, the way the SOPA was worded now, I don't see that as I don't see it being as possible as that. Okay, let me explain why. The way SOPA is made to work is, as we were saying before, YouTube will be gone, of course, due to copyright content. But that's copyrighted by a large company. A person like her could not have, in my opinion, the legal course to actually file a lawsuit against someone like Zach, for instance, just pointed out there, because this law is being trying to be passed by the entertainment industry. You know, they have very deep pockets. They could have certainly YouTube shut down, but I don't see as to where Venus Satanas could, you know, do anything. She's small potatoes, as we had already said. She would not be able to afford to do it, or maybe even I don't even think the law is actually meant for that, in my opinion.
But the point of STOPA is that she doesn't have to go through courts. She didn't have to go through lawyers or anything. She has now, I mean, it used to be just the DCMA, but now she has SOPA. So she can go to YouTube, she can type up, or there'll probably be a form letter available if this thing passes. There'll be a form letter available for people who create intellectual content and want to copyright it. And if they see it being reused and they're not happy about it, a letter that they can send to the IP provider saying that here is, you know, here's where this resource of mine, I can prove that it's mine, is being used without my permission. Shut that down. Okay?
You know, man, I'm sorry,
so,
I still do not see how such a small claim could actually pull that off. I don't. I'm sorry, I don't see it.
YouTube shuts down Zach Black as far as the YouTube channels are concerned. Then she goes on to Whackwall or whatever and says the same thing, that this site is being used to, you know, do this. You know, there's intellectual, I'm being quoted without my permission. It's, you know, and it's extreme. But the problem with this act is that there's the language of this act is not written in such a manner that it's, you know, clear cut. And that's where it gets ambiguous. That's why I think it could go either way. It's kind of like if somebody wrote a law, like legislation, you know, saying that, hey, if you're going to cross the street, we have designated crosswalks. So if you cross the street and you're not in a designated crosswalk, if you're jaywalking and you're caught, we're going to ticket you, we're going to fine you $500. It doesn't matter who you are, what your deal is, okay? That used to be the way legislation was written. Now what we got to look at, what we're looking at with SOPA is just the same kind of thing they're trying to prevent. People crossing the street where they shouldn't be crossing the street, basically. But now we're going to say, well, you know what, it's at the police officer's discretion. And, you know, it's what's to define what it means to actually cross the street. And, you know, sometimes it'll be all right to cross the street because maybe there's no traffic or whatever. It gets really ambiguous. So it means that, you know, certain people will, you know, that have the wherewithal will be able to cross the street wherever the hell they want to cross the street. And the rest of us, if we cross the street where we're not supposed to cross the street, well, if we're fucked. And that's what I think SOPA is doing is if you upload content or download content, if you're trying to provide entertainment to anyone on the internet, and it's close enough to what somebody else is doing, and another way to look at this also, think about this. Let's see, what was I reading about today? This is going to show how much of a geek I am. Star Trek DS9, all right? Paramount produced that television series, Star Trek DS9, okay? From what I read, the guy that did Babylon 5, the guy who did the work up and wrote up Babylon 5 and everything else, he went to Paramount with this idea, Babylon 5. Yeah, I've never seen Babylon 5. I'm aware of it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah.
He goes to Paramount and goes, hey, I got this idea, Babylon 5. He gives them basically the first season Bible. So he's got the first season already written out. The story arc's already figured out, the characters, everything already figured out. And gives the work up to Paramount. Paramount passes on it. Okay? And this is typical Hollywood shit. You see it all the time. Paramount passes on it. Warner Brothers takes a look at it. Warner Brothers picks it up. A few weeks before Warner Brothers rolls out with Babylon 5, Paramount rolls out with Star Trek DS9.
Okay? Yeah.
The concept is relatively the same. You see this with, you know, you're watching films, you know, film seasons, like, you know, geez, Batman's coming out, and now here's this other superhero movie, this other superhero movie. You know, it was ridiculous for a while. You know, if you didn't see this film, come see this other film because it's almost the same thing with different actors. You know, if you only see
right.
it, laugh the same jokes over there, right? So if the media people, when you see people who are producing original content and, you know, doing that kind of thing on the internet, and they're, you know, they're small potatoes. You know, you could have a budding comedian, you could have an amateur filmmaker. And they're doing something, and especially with the shift to the internet, if they start to get popular enough on the internet, a big-name company could come out with something based on their whatever it is they're doing. And just like you said, this guy who's small potatoes doesn't have the money to put in a lawsuit or anything else. So then they turn around and go, hey, this guy's content, his most recent content, not the stuff he was doing before we did our thing, but the stuff that he's been doing now, it's close enough to what we're doing. It's just that it's taking money away from us, and we want him stopped.
But he also puts Hollywood in a bit of a sling as well, because a lot of, you know, films, especially since, you know, the 30s and 40s, back, you know, the old black and whites, they've been remade. That's stealing from someone else. All Hollywood does is steals off its own shit. They basically
right,
are sitting there at a back fee. It's all doing, man.
Well, it was a big debate back when I was in college and art school, the idea that there was no original idea left anymore. That was the concept.
I do actually agree with that. I really do.
That everything is based on or inspired by something else. That you'd have to leave this planet to find some new source of inspiration. So, you know, it develops, it moves forward or whatever, it grows. This looks ugly to me. You know, there's too much. It's putting power into the hands of the media moguls. I saw a picture on the internet. I tried finding it before the show because I wanted to put a link on here and I couldn't find the thing. But some people have probably seen it floating around Facebook and maybe fun.org or whatever. It was a picture of, you know, it basically asked the question, who does internet piracy really hurt? And it showed all these bigwigs, you know, the guy who ran Virgin Records, the guy, you know, Warner, you know, Warner the Disney guy, all these bigwigs. And you know, the billions of dollars that they made and the infinitesimal percentage that they were losing based on internet piracy.
Yep.
Right. That it's not the actors. You know, it's like Metallica, okay?
Yeah, that's a fucking joke, man. They went too bad against Napster for that. Every few years when their career goes even into more of a slump than it already is, they get a bug up their ass about their songs being downloaded. You know what I say? Go jerk off in the fucking corner.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, it used to be if you had a tape recorder and the song played on the radio, you got yourself your own little copy. That's just the way it was. And
yep.
I used to be on the flip side of this whole argument about copyright infringement and intellectual property and everything else, where, you know, I didn't like the idea of people downloading my books for free. And it occurred, you know, I've come around, basically, that there's no way I can stop it, that the people who do download whatever, you know, whatever I put out there, whether it's, you know, artwork or whatever, if they get a copy of it, that they look at it, and that was the only way they could get a copy of it, great. And a percentage of those people, if they like it and appreciate it enough, they will buy whatever it is. They will seek me out with their dollars. So
that's right.
That is just the nature of the internet. So,
may I stop you real quick, though? What made you come around to that, though?
You know, just kind of mulling it over, just thinking about, you know, what is it I'm going for here? And artistically, what is it I'm going for? You know, is the point to make a buck or is the point to communicate ideas? And I want to communicate ideas. And if that's what I'm going for, then as long as the message gets out there and as long as people are appreciate it and, you know, even exchanging back with me and everything about what they, you know, what they took from it or whatever, well, then I've accomplished my goal. You know, the exercise for me was I had fun making whatever it was, the art, the book, whatever it was. I had fun doing that. And then it's fun putting it out there and fun getting people's reactions. That's payment enough. So, you know, I'm thinking about, like, Stephen King, okay? You know, Stephen King makes some royalties off every book he sells, but at his level, it's about, you know, that company buying that book from him. Oh, yeah, Stephen, you wrote another book. Here's $1 million. You wrote a book about
haunted
lamb. Right, here's $1 million because you're Stephen King, you know? So, yeah, it just, I was kind of like, it wasn't worth the pursuit. I talked about this maybe a month or two ago. I'm almost to the point where I'm ready to go, you know what, if it's on my website and it's something you think you want to use on your website for, you know, decoration or whatever, go for it. I haven't actually done that yet. I haven't put it on the website yet. I have put a lot
too
on
late,
the website.
Man.
I got a bunch of artwork and everything.
It's
what's
too
that?
Late, man. You just said it. You just said it, man. That's you know, verbal contract, man. You're screwed. There you go.
Well, I'm not worried about it. You know, you get the digital copy and you use it, cool. You know, it's because there's a digital copy. It's bits of data. It's information. You take it, you start producing it, and, you know, merchandising it. Yeah, then, well, you know what? Here's the thing. I hope you're successful. I hope if you do that, if you go out and you start selling stickers of my stuff and everything else, or T-shirts, whatever, I hope you make a bundle. Because when I go after your ass for it, it means there's money there. If you figure out how to successfully market it that I haven't figured out, I'll be coming after you. Hey, here it is. You know, he's making my money for me. So, the more people I get doing that, the better. That'd be awesome. But yeah, it's ridiculous to. Especially if you're a creative, Metallica. What I was gonna say about Metallica could give a shit about who you know copied their. You know, when they were in the garage band, they making bootleg tin cassettes and everything else. You know, they could give a shit about how many people were copying those and passing out to the friends because it was about the music getting out to the number of people, about their name getting out and getting around. They didn't give a shit until they bought into the production side of the house. Okay, and I bet it
yep.
took a lawyer to sit down Lars and. Fuck! What's this guy's name?
Dude, I'm trying to think. Son of a bitch, dude! I haven't listened to Metallica in probably 10 years.
Yeah. We know who you're talking about. The lead singer. They had to sit down the lead singer and the drummer. They had to sit them down. The lawyers had to go. Hey, by the way, now that you're producing this and you're making money and we can take the money you're making and make it into a liquid form and you can bathe in it every day. That's how much money you're making. It's insane. By the way, 3% of the money you would be making, it goes away because there are kids downloading your music off of Napster and everything else. You know, when they were starting out, they could give a shit. They were like, cool. But they're like, oh, no, that's my money. That's my $100,000 of the million that I – or the $100 million I would have gotten.
But see, man, here comes the next issue, man. Where'd all the millions go that they had originally? Up their nose. Let's be honest. It went up their nose. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, it's the legislation is scary. I think they're voting on this, the SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act. They're voting on this January 24th.
Oh,
they haven't
heard the exact date at the moment, okay.
I would encourage people to get out, you know, write their legislatures and everything else. We got a dude right here in Texas that's backing this thing. So write your legislators, let them know that you're not happy about this, but also start shoring up your means of downloading. Start figuring out, what piracy you're going to engage in or whatever. It's time to batten down the hatchets. If you're a pirate, it's time to get ready. Get the cannons, you know, ready to go. Keep the gunpowder dry, that kind of thing, because it's coming. It's going to get ridiculous.
Here comes the hilarious thing about it. A lot of these torrent sites are outside of U.S. borders. So, yes,
right.
The government could remove the name. Let's say, for instance, Pirate Bay. Their name can no longer be found on the internet. Here comes the kicker, man. If you can find the IP address for that site, you can still get on it.
Right. And you know, and what good does it do? You know what? I don't know which country it was, Italy or Greece or whatever, that actually banned Pirate Bay.
Quite a few of them actually. I think they're operating out of Sweden now, actually.
Right, but my thinking is, you know, especially in Europe, where the underground trade has been going on strong forever. You know, when I lived in Germany, if I wanted Russian military equipment, you know, Russian military night goggles and shit like that, all I had to do was go down to, you know, downtown Frankfurt and look for my guy. You know?
That's right.
That's all I had to do. Yeah, because it was there. You know, if you wanted it, and it's typical shit. All this digital media, this thing's going to do is it's going to drive it a little bit backwards, back towards, in my opinion, it's going to be back to hard media. So you can't get the, you can't download the music you want. Well, what music do you want to, do you really want? Because what I'll do is I'll put it on a disc and I'll mail it to you.
That's,
you know,
right.
That kind of thing. That's where the pirates are going to go. Fuck it. You know, send me your iPod. As a matter of fact, they've got, I think there are businesses operating out of China that will do this. You you tell them what kind of music you're into, what bands you like, and you send them your iPod. They take your iPod, they upload, they fill the whole fucking thing up, and they send it back to you.
Dude,
you know,
yeah, that is quite the money-making scheme for a young entrepreneur who's 24 like myself. Oh, sorry.
Right, yeah. If you got the means, yeah, you know, the, you have to compete with the Chinese.
Oh,
but
those
yeah,
were
so that's I think that's our bit on SOPA and FIPA. And I see that Zach is in the chat room. Hopefully, he didn't get all freaked out about the whole Venus Satanas, you know, going after him thing. Real quick, before we roll the commercial, before we take a little break, there was, I didn't know if I wanted to bring this up on the air tonight or not, there was a video shot recently, which reference
Of our great little friend, Mr. French. Yeah, I saw that one, actually.
Aren't you? Okay, okay. It wasn't, you know, other than, you know, the show was good, whatever day it was when we did a show on Satanism, you didn't have shit to say about me. Not really, which is surprising.
Mentioned mine as well. First Dan internet name. Yeah.
Right, right. He did mention you. So I didn't know if you wanted an opportunity to address that video, if you haven't already.
You know, man, I see it. You know, I understand what he's saying. I completely do. And I have to admit, I am definitely a very private person. I mean, what do our listeners know about me? You know, I'm in New York. I go to college, you know. That's what they know. Will my first name hurt anything? Probably not. You know, this whole internet name that I use is simply what I use when I'm gaming, actually. That's where it originally came from. On 360, there are things of that nature. You know, hey, man, I have no problem you call Justin on the air. It doesn't matter. Does not matter to me whatsoever. If you want to do that, it's up to you. I'm not going to force you to.
But, you know, my thinking on the on this... I used to have a screen name online. I used to go by Ego Diabolus and TC, you know, Beast Xeno. We both, you know, came to a point in our thinking where it wasn't worth or it wasn't in line with our philosophical leanings as we evolved and, you know, our shared philosophy to have that identity that we wanted to be known or we wanted to put out this is who we are. No bullshit, no whatever, this is who we are. So we made that decision. But my thing is, like you or Wicked Pup or anybody else, you know, entertainers who get on the forums like this and do their thing, even on television, you see their faces and everything else. I know that, you know, a few of the newscasters and everything else here in Austin, Texas, don't use their real names. They don't use their real names because they don't want any legal entanglements. If you go to sue, you know, this knucklehead, you know, whatever, whoever it is, well, you're suing a fictional entity. You're suing somebody that doesn't exist. You know, when they get
yep.
their paychecks, it's in somebody else's name because they want to make sure that there's this distance between, you know, their public life and their private life. So, you know, you call yourself Rotten Biohazard. If you called yourself, you know, Justin Jones or whatever, or, you know, whatever, if you called yourself something normal sounding, the video that would have been made wouldn't have been made because nobody would have known that that was not your real name.
True.
You know what I mean? Right. And so, Sean Rima is a dude that does radio down here. He actually was here in Austin for a little while. And, you know, he does, you know, now he's in San Antonio, just a DJ. And he would talk about every once in a while, he'd bring up his daughter, Lizzie Borden Rima, and not a real name. You know, and so it's just a matter of protecting those people or protecting yourself, you know, putting some distance between yourself and what you're putting out there on the internet. Because these are your opinions. And like you said, if somebody really wanted to track you down, they could. You know, they know you're going to school. They know you're in New York. You know, they could do it. They could do it. But, you know, if you just don't want to, you know, if you don't want somebody, if it were me, if people were listening to, you know, this show and I had to get a regular straight-laced job, and was concerned about my name being on a resume and then them Googling that name and coming across the show and hearing some very my valid opinions. I would stand right there and say, yep, those are my opinions if I were called on it, but some very controversial opinions, well, then I might be a little hesitant to necessarily put my name out there or what have you. And, you know, fuck it, it's the Internet. Everybody does this shit. So,
yeah, we definitely do discuss some things that could be considered illegal, if you really want to put it into a certain way of speaking. It could definitely be considered illegal.
Right, right. Well, yeah, it could be a lot of what we talk about could be technically actionable. If it wasn't, you know, and it, well, that's the other thing that's scary about the SOPA thing. It, right now it's in the realm of ideas. This is one step closer to thought crimes, basically. Yeah, this is the direction we're going in. So I'm gonna run the ad, and then we're gonna have about 15 minutes, and we're gonna touch on the whole Girl Scout thing when we come back.
Okay.
All right.
Creative Oddity Studios. Creative Oddity Studios. Stickers, T-shirts, skateboard decks, lighters, prints, posters, and many other fine pieces of merchandise. It's some of the best damn artwork you'll find on the Internet. The creative assault and meandering of Jason Sorrell, T.C. Downey, and Vanessa Lee. Coleman! What is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and visit Creative Oddity Studios. Bondage art, digital manipulation, erotica, demon girls, fantasy, tattoo art, horror, occult, and we dare to call it artwork.
It's like candy, but for your eyes!
Check out our very popular books on the occult and Satanism, now available in hard copy and downloadable format. Hoo-wah! Check out our blogs on art, tattoo work, what life is like as a tattoo artist, social issues, philosophy, lowbrow culture in Austin, Texas, and eminentmind.info. You'll enjoy them.
If you can read!
Creative Oddities Studios. www.creativeoddities.com.
I like the naked girls.
Creative Oddities Studios.
See, if the SOPA folks have their way, that advertisement could get me in trouble. Because
yeah,
of my poorly done celebrity voices. Yeah. Anyways.
Now, let me bring up something real quick about this kid. This is the same kid we're thinking, I'm thinking, you're thinking about, blah, 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 blah. He's darker skin toned. He's definitely not white. You said he might be Mexican or something like that. He's biracial. I know that for a fact. His mother is white. 3 to 4 months ago, this is the same person we're talking about. His mother was on Dr. Phil. They did a piece on this kid, actually. And, yeah, he identified as a woman. Has since he was maybe 2 years old. His parents do indulge him in this. They've bought him feminine clothes and makeup and everything else since he was 2 years old. Part of me disagrees on a more of a level that boys are supposed to be boys. So it definitely brings into the idea of, you know, what is a man, what is a boy. It really kind of crosses lines in my head, I suppose.
Well, that's the thing I wonder about this kid, Bobby Montoya. I think that when a person reaches a certain level of intellectual maturity, they have every right to make an informed decision about how they will identify sexually, okay? Whatever direction they want to go in, perfectly legitimate. That's their right. But when you're talking about a 2-year-old or 3-year-old child, you know, boy or girl that says, and, you know, a little boy, says I want to dress up as a girl, says I want to be a girl, this is what I want to do. You know, the parents at that point, they could make one of two decisions. One decision, the decision that most parents make when and if that comes up, is that know your little boy, and as a little boy, this is what you can and cannot do. You know, if you want that toy bad enough, we'll buy that toy for you, but you're a little boy, you're going to dress like a little boy, and we're going to treat you like a little boy, okay? if this urge stays with this child down the road, well, then you investigate it, then you explore it. But in the meantime, a 2 or 3 year old doesn't have it in their head to make that decision.
But see, this also brings up a much more, perhaps darker issue with it. You know, it goes back to, you know, the gay and lesbian community as well, to where once upon a time it was thought that you could catch it, that you could catch being gay or being a lesbian. You know, it goes back to that as well,
right,
within the realms of, okay, parents are allowing this. It also goes into the idea of two lesbians or two gay men adopting a child. This would be the children would be raised to be gay or lesbian. The parents allowing this, it's, you know, I know it sounds very flamboyant and quite wrong when you say this, but it's almost like they are raising their kid to chop off his dick when he gets old enough to do so.
Well, see, that's what I think is going on with this kid. When we're talking about lesbian parents or homosexual parents, my research and the parents who, you know, that I know of that are, you know, lesbian or homosexual, they don't instill those values in their children. If anything, the value they instill is, you know, whatever it is you're going to do, we want you to be happy with who you are. We want you to be happy with what it is you got going on.
I'm saying it goes back to the fear of the mainstream America. That's
right,
the problem.
Right. Right. And this is, but that's, it's a legitimate problem. It's something that until culturally we've had some sort of awakening or shift in our thinking, if you're going to teach a little boy to survive in our culture, to deal with our culture, well, then the little boy has to understand that you want to be a little boy or you're going to suffer certain consequences. Until you're old enough to actually make an informed decision and, you know, back your argument up with some, you know, something else other than I'm just a little girl. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm the parent. I think they dropped the ball here. I mean, it would be a really tough call. And it's almost, this is going to sound hypocritical, it's almost easier with daughters. Because, if, you know, if one of my little girls said, you know, I want to be a little boy, okay, here, dress up as a little boy, see what that gets you. No real consequence in society for a little girl running around playing ball or whatever. With a little boy, it's a little different. But that said, I understand what the parents are doing, though. The parents are trying to be sensitive to this little boy's needs. They, you know, the little boy wanted to be like a little girl. He didn't grow out of it. He, you know, he's now 7 or 8 years old. He's still engaged in the same behavior. So this kid, you know, maybe it was the right call to let this little kid continue to behave as a little girl. It was either that, or since the parents didn't put a stop to it, since the kid's getting attention, behaving or, you know, acting or identifying as a girl, well, then it continues. The other side of this is, you know, so he goes, his grandmother, I guess, or his mother took him to join the Girl Scouts in Denver, okay, because he wanted to join the Girl Scouts, all right? The initial reaction from the troop leader was when they brought this little boy to join the Girl Scouts in Denver, it doesn't matter how he looks. He has boy parts. He can't be in the Girl Scouts. Girl Scouts don't allow that, and I don't want to be in trouble by the parents or my supervisor, okay?
That's a very good point. That's a good point.
Right. Now, what I found odd in doing research for the story is that the people who have written about this, the reporters who have written about this, the very PC act, what they've done is they've taken this statement. That was the statement that this troop leader, and this is according to the mother, so it's secondhand, all right? The reporter who was writing on the story called that statement vitriolic and sharp-tongued, okay? Almost like this troop leader was some sort of, you know, gay-bashing hate monger. When she just addressed the reality of the situation, he's a little boy. He has boy parts. This is the Girl Scouts, you know. And as far as she's, you know, low man on the totem pole. She's the greeter of Walmart as far as the Girl Scouts are concerned, right? She's not in any position to make the decision. But you know, the logical assumption is if we are the Girl Scouts and there is a Boy Scouts, there's already some segregation going on here. The Girl Scouts are for girls. The Boy Scouts are for boys. And what's the distinction? You know, it's you identify as a girl, a lamppost, a screwdriver, whatever you identify as. You know, it doesn't necessarily make it so, okay, which, again, comes to the whole making an informed decision.
Quick question for you. Who actually came up with the Girl Scouts? I mean, I know that the Mormon Church are the ones who created the Boy Scouts, and they still fund it quite heavily. But who created the Girl Scouts?
You know, I meant to do research into it.
You did.
And did not have time. You know what? I'm on Wikipedia, though, right now. So Girl Scouts. And here's the thing, though. This is so the Girl Scouts, if they had stuck to their guns, okay, let's see. Robert Baden Powell, the founder of Scouting. So he's the founder of the whole, both, apparently, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts.
That seems kind of strange and perhaps a little wrong, but I'm not going into that right now.
But if they stuck to their guns, if they said, you know what, this is for the Girl Scouts. The Girl Scouts, so what we're about is, you know, it's girls. You know, and what we're doing is girl stuff. And one of the core values they have, the qualities of truth and purity, okay? I don't know what the purity fucking thing means. That's scary. That's kind of, you know, that's kind of Nazi kind of fucking talk, you know, going on there. I don't know, right?
Told you, man, they were created by the Mormons. What do you really expect, okay?
Right. The truth part is the part that sticks out in my mind. Because we're the Girl Scouts. So who's here to participate in the Girl Scouts? Girls. Is this little person that we got here in front of us, Bobby Montoya, is he a girl? If we're honest about it, no. So as part of our core values, do we as the Girl Scouts allow and encourage this boy to live a lie, basically? I mean, he may identify as a girl. He may feel more girly than boy. You know, that's all fine and good. He may want to play with dolls. He may want to dress as a girl and everything else. But bottom line is, you know, he's got a wang. He's got a couple of tests.
Yeah.
He's a boy. Right. There's no getting around that. You know, down the road, maybe. Now, so the thing is, though, that the Girl Scouts, the tack they've taken, especially this 14-year-old, this chick's a bitch, okay? There's no two ways about it. This chick, she goes on the Internet and everything else, and what the fuck is her? Her name's Taylor, but she didn't want to give her full name, okay? And, of course, they can't give it out because she's a teenager. She posts this video and everything else where basically she's calling on a ban on the sale of Girl Scout cookies. And here's her statement. Why is the GSUSA, the Girl Scouts United States of America, willing to break its own safety rules and go against its own research findings to accommodate transgender boys? Unfortunately, I think it's because the Girl Scouts in the United States of America care more about promoting the desires of a small handful of people than it does my safety and the safety of my friends. And they do it with the money we earn from them by selling Girl Scout cookies. So this little 14-year-old bitch has it in her head that a boy who identifies as a girl is in the Girl Scouts to rape her ass. Okay?
Well, he is. Well, he's biracial. Sorry.
that's what I get from the whole safety thing is that oh shit it's this, these boys are going to come into the Girl Scouts and it's going to be they're going to rape us. I'm thinking, well, how much shower sex is going on with the Girl Scouts amongst the girls, if that's a concern, if that's really an issue? You know, what they got going on there that, you know, isn't going on in the rest of society? Because these kids go to school together all fucking day long, you know, in public schools, boys and girls play together just fine. So
hey, man, I've heard the stories about the Girl Scouts growing up. Yeah, they were quite freaky from what I've heard. And yeah, they were. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I've never been with a Girl Scout, but I've eaten a brownie once. this whole thing with this is my – and there are these – you know, it's – the bottom line is they're taking the wrong tack. You know, if they stood on the grounds of, you know, hey, it's biology. That's all – that's the definition. We are our own organization. We define and find ourselves along biological lines, boy, male, female, blah, blah, blah. He can identify. We have no problem with how he identifies himself. We have no problem with his choice to be transgender or whatever. But our organization, this is for girls, okay? If he wants to be in a scouting program, what's that?
That's exactly it, okay? I think that if it was just left at that, and this little twat had not gotten her nose in it, it would not be as big of an issue as it is now.
Right. Right. Now, my thinking is, if the Girl Scouts of America are going to take this tact, okay, if you want to be, if you identify as a girl, no matter what your gender is, no matter what you've got going on downstairs, if you identify as a girl, well, then you can be a Girl Scout. Okay? Well, then you kind of have to shift the way the organization thinks. You kind of have to separate yourself from your Christian values. You can be moral. You can have a certain moral code, but you have to get away from even female principles, per se, and start coming. You have to kind of have a blended scout-type organization where now you're not the Girl Scouts, you're not the Boy Scouts, you're just the Scouts. And any gender participates. And I'm wondering about the opposite side of the coin. What happens when some chick wants to join the Boy Scouts? Has that happened? You know, where
I
a woman
know.
Or a girl...
They don't allow gays or transgender males in the Boy Scouts either.
Right. Well, that's true. There was a big hoopla about, you know, how the Boy Scouts are definitely opposed to gay males participating in their organization. So what happens when a girl who identifies as a boy joins the Boy Scouts? Who says it hasn't happened already, you know? Because, I mean, until a certain point, how the fuck would you tell? If, you know, she's got her hair cut, she wears the boy's clothes, she carries herself as a boy, how would you know? Let's see here. Boy Scouts, transgender. Live on the air. Doing our show prep and research live on the air. I'm not seeing anything about... It's all about this little boy trying to join the Girl Scouts on the first page on Google.
I don't think it's happened yet.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm willing to bet it's happened, and these girls have gotten denied. If you think about the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, in a lot of ways, they're almost archaic organizations. When you have this kind of gender division, because it sends the message that there's a certain role and certain things which girls learn, which aren't for boys necessarily. There's a certain role, and there's a certain set of things that boys learn that's not for girls. So, yeah, it's all kooky and everything else. And the idea that these three troops in Louisiana had disbanded over the whole thing, over the Girl Scouts allowing transgenders. Basically, I think it's the death knell for another Christian-based organization in our modern and secular society. So we only got a few seconds left, man. You got anything else?
No, if you want to, we could probably extend it and go in further into SOPA and PIPA if you want. It's up to you, of course.
Well, what was that? Because we only got, like, 50 seconds.
If you want to, you could extend it and talk more about it. That's up to you.
You know, we might talk about it the next show, but I'm ready to roll, man. So I'm going to roll the outro, and we'll catch everybody next Tuesday.
All right, man. Take it easy, dude.
All right. Later.